Hello, my name is Abe, and I have a story to tell you. I don't know how long I will be in the world of the living. A mistake that made me live a real and terrifying experience. Something that no person should ever have to suffer in their entire life and that, today, still haunts me. It all started a few months ago when I installed a Ring camera on the front door of my house and another on the inside. The idea was simple: to increase security and keep an extra eye on what was going on while I was away. I didn't really have a reason to do this, so I didn't expect what was about to happen. At first, everything seemed normal. The Ring camera recorded the delivery packages, neighbors walking down the street, and the occasional curious animal. But one night, while reviewing the day's recordings, something caught my attention. A dark figure moved in the corner of the screen. I couldn't make out any details, just a shadow moving slowly through the darkness. I didn't think much of it at the time. I thought it was probably some error in the camera since it had no human form. But the following nights brought more sightings of the same figure. Always in the dark, always out of sight of the camera. Anyway, I tried to convince myself that it had to be a figment of my imagination. I know what you are thinking at this point. It was impossible to think that I could be imagining everything and that it was surely a glitch. But can you blame me? You don't wake up every day assuming that something out of a horror movie is going to happen to you. And I was definitely in denial about any idea that came into my head that could lead to that. I just kept denying everything I saw. But that's when things started to get more personal. I received notifications from the camera in the middle of the night, alerting me to movement outside my house. As I reviewed the recordings, I saw the dark figure standing in front of my door. There was no face, just a dark mass that defied logic. My heart pounded as I watched the shadow extend a hand toward the door, as if it were touching it without actually making contact. Terror gripped me, but I decided not to stand idly by. I called the police and showed them the recordings. However, upon reviewing them, the dark figure had disappeared. It was as if nothing I had seen had really happened. The police looked at me skeptically, suggesting that perhaps I was exaggerating or had misrepresented what I saw. I felt alone and vulnerable, with no tangible evidence of what was happening. The following nights were even worse. The dark figure was not only appearing on the recordings, but was now moving around inside my house. Objects moved for no apparent reason, and in some recordings, I could hear unintelligible whispers. I began to doubt my own sanity. Was I being stalked by something supernatural, or was I simply losing my mind? Determined to find answers, I spent the night sleeping on the couch where most of the paranormal events were happening. That way, I could find out what was causing all this. It may seem obvious that there was something out of the ordinary, but during that time, I was in denial. I refused to believe that there could be anything supernatural going on. There had to be an explanation for all of this. At first, the night started out like any other. There was nothing unusual other than the mess in my kitchen. I didn't feel cold, nor did I see any dark presence or anything similar. I started to fall asleep quickly. I didn't want to, but I had worked hard, and that particular night, I was very tired. My eyes began to slowly close, and before I knew it, I was asleep. That's when it all happened. A loud noise woke me up from my nightly nap on the couch. The back door opened violently. I got up from the couch and jumped back in fright. I started to look around. I still didn't fully understand what was happening, but at that moment, as if showing me that my terror was real, it happened again. The door closed and opened violently without even the slightest breath of air flowing through the house, without even a window nearby. Frightened, I ran out of the house and did not return until the next day. Once I returned home, I decided to get rid of the Ring camera, thinking that would be the solution to my problems. After all, it all started when I installed them, but to my horror, the dark figure persisted. Now it was not only in the camera recordings, but also haunted me in my dreams. Every time I fell asleep, I felt a shadow moving around me. I could never move, only scream in terror in a paralysis of sleep that never ended, until suddenly, I woke up and it was all over. Until one day, I just didn't end up awake. That night, I had sleep paralysis for one more night. I was thinking of moving, although this was not at all easy. It required a lot of money, which, to be honest, I didn't have. Like every other night, I tried as hard as I could to wake up from my sleep paralysis, while as always, the terrifying shadow was slowly approaching. With all the strength I could, I managed to wake up and jumped out of bed as quickly as possible. Once again, I had survived that dark shadow. But something was wrong. The shadow was still there. It was slowly approaching me as if I had never woken up. Suddenly, the shadow began to materialize, to take shape. It looked like a hideous monster that I could never have imagined seeing even in the most terrifying nightmare. I tried to crawl away from the monster, but it was very difficult to move. Every centimeter I moved away, he made up for it by walking in the simplest and most indifferent way possible. I felt a terrifying aura next to me. A completely oppressive aura that prevented me from thinking clearly and even breathing. The horrendous being put me face to face, and at that moment, I realized that my life had come to an end. That there was nothing I could do to stop something as terrible and horrendous as what was in front of me. The monster opened my mouth with its hands and shoved it all the way down my throat. I began to feel a strange and horrifying liquid go all over my body. The liquid was thick and hard to swallow. As the liquid accumulated in my stomach, I could feel it moving all over my belly as if it were alive. As if it had body and form and was trying to get out of my belly, feeding on everything inside of me in the process. Once the monster pulled its hands out of my mouth and it was lost in the darkness, I screamed because of the strongest pain I had ever felt in my life. It was as if all the blood was trying to leave my body. At the peak of the pain, when I felt like I was going to pass out, I woke up. All this? Was it a nightmare? When I opened my eyes, I was in my bed, sweating from the terrible nightmare I had had. I tried to take a deep breath, although I felt a terrible pain in my chest, probably because of the position I had slept in. Suddenly, I felt like throwing up and ran to the bathroom to do so. When I saw what I threw up, I fell to the floor and started crying. My vomit. It was black. Black and thick like oil. From that day on, I kept trying to move out of the house, but this time, living at my parents' house during the whole process. That thing that was harassing me stopped. But I'll be honest, I don't know if it stopped because I left the house or because that terrifying monster accomplished its goal. Sometimes I wake up and vomit black liquid. After that, I can't think clearly all day long. Day after day, I feel like something inside of me is stabbing me inside. No doctor has been able to figure out what it is, and to tell you the truth, I don't blame them. The only thing I hope is that all this ends as quickly as possible, so that I stop suffering because nowadays, the pain is intolerable. I don't know what it was that harassed me in my previous home or did this to me. But every time I tell this story and someone doubts me, I show them the recording of that day. The recording that my Ring camera detected when it all started. Hello everyone. We are thrilled that you have been enjoying our videos. Your support means the world to us. If you've liked what you've seen, please consider liking and subscribing to our channel. We would love to hear which one of our videos is your favorite. We're on a mission to reach 100,000 members in the SSG family, and with your help, we can achieve that goal. Thank you for being a part of our journey. My name is Alan, and I have something to tell you. The story of how a little extra precaution I took to keep my family safe turned into a nightmare that could have ended my life and all of theirs. I will start telling you the story from the beginning. Like almost everyone else, I also have a Ring camera, but it wasn't always that way. All my neighbors were always overly paranoid, but I always considered myself a person who didn't worry about much. Simple in my own way, quiet and even trusting. But something strange started to happen, and even I couldn't turn a blind eye to it. When I would wake up, my children would always tell me that during the night, they saw strange silhouettes walking around the house outside. These people were not just teenagers walking down the sidewalk, but invaders trying to spy from outside my children's room. At first, I thought it was just their imagination since I always trusted that this neighborhood was very safe. But when the problems became more and more frequent and I began to see footprints in the driveway, even I could no longer ignore what was going on. I installed a Ring camera on my front door because from there I could see the identity of the person who was stalking my children and at the same time threatening to enter our house. In theory, this was a good idea, but there was no way of knowing how our intruder was about to react to being watched. The night it all happened, I was in the dining room waiting for the man while watching the camera. At first, I saw one of them just hovering around my house. The man was truly terrifying. Physically, nothing about him stood out, but everything changed when you looked at his face. The man had a huge, terrifying mask. The man looked from one side to the other and reached the door, where he simply stood and looked at it. It was then that he realized that there was a camera. As soon as he saw the camera, the invader pulled out a piece of tape from his pocket and covered it up. Now I could see nothing of what was going on outside, and quickly the noises began. I may have only seen one person on the camera, but there were certainly many invaders stalking me and my family's home. My first reaction was to wake my family and run, but that was too dangerous. I didn't know how many of them were surrounding the house and what their plans were with us. I woke my children and told them to wait in hiding while my wife stayed with them in the upstairs bedroom and called the police. I thought about hiding with them, but there was something I had to do first. To buy some time, the smart thing to do was to lock as many doors as possible, as some windows might be open and other doors unlocked. I went downstairs as fast as I could to make sure everything was in order when the police arrived. And that was my first big mistake. By the time I got downstairs, I must have realized that I should have been hiding with my family, because the first thing I noticed was that the back door, the kitchen door, was open. I quickly ran towards it to close it, and once I did, someone knocked loudly from behind. After a few seconds, the knocking stopped and the person behind the door left. I was relieved for a few seconds, but quickly realized the mistake I was making. If someone opened that door, that someone must already be inside the house. A huge feeling of adrenaline and terror came over me as I realized what this meant. While I was pressing the kitchen door, one of those stalkers could have quietly slipped into the room where my wife and children were hiding. As soon as the thought crossed my mind, I ran desperately for the stairs, but something interrupted my path. Out of nowhere, another one of the men with his face covered with a mask came out of the darkness of my house and charged at me, knocking me to the ground and climbing on top of me.
"You can come now, guys."
With a given signal, the kitchen door opened and one of the men came in. At the same time, another one came down the stairs, and this one was with my wife and children, who were crying desperately, begging not to be hurt. The two men stood behind me, while the man who was holding me took a hammer out of his hands.
"What are you going to do? If they want to rob us, we'll stay here, but please don't hurt us."
"Robbing you? If we wanted to rob you, we would have done it in the afternoon when the house is empty."
"We came here to kill you, one by one, in the most cruel and painful ways you can imagine."
"Why? We haven't done anything."
"Why? Even we don't agree."
"I'm afraid doing this for fame. I'm going to rob you when you're dead, so I'm doing it for the money."
"And I do it for fun."
"Please, leave my family out of this. We didn't even see your faces. Do with me what you want."
"Don't worry. You look like a nice man. That's why we'll kill you first. You are not even going to see your family die."
Having said that, the man who had entered through the kitchen approached me with a hammer. Before I could ask what it was for, he stretched out one of my arms and started pounding his hammer on my fingers. My whole family was crying. Everyone was calling for them to stop, but none of this was happening. The man, taking his time with each finger, was breaking them one by one with his huge hammer. As soon as he finished with my left hand, he stretched out my right hand and began to do the same. I made every effort to free myself, but the pain was too much and the strength of the man holding me back seemed superhuman. I began to run out of strength to fight, and I invested all my energy in screaming in pain. My hands hurt, yes, but you know what hurt the most? Knowing that after I died, my wife and children would suffer something similar or even worse. As soon as he finished with my hands, the man stood up and looked at my legs. I knew what was about to happen. It was the turn of my toes. I couldn't see behind the man's masks, but I could feel them laughing. They were having a great time at the expense of my suffering, and they knew that they were going to have an even better time. But suddenly, everything changed. Before the man could bend down and stretch my feet, we heard an explosion coming from the kitchen, and suddenly, the man fell down. The explosion was the sound of a gun, and from the kitchen, I could see my neighbors entering the house armed to kill our invaders. At this, two of the three masked men ran desperately up the stairs. They both climbed up to my room and jumped out the window. One of them managed to escape, while the other broke his foot in the fall and was arrested a few seconds later as the police were about to arrive. One of my neighbors walked over to the man with the hammer. He was on the ground, lifeless. My neighbors told me that they heard all the commotion, so they kept an eye on what was going on. When they heard me screaming, they knew they had to take action as soon as possible. As soon as the police arrived, they called an ambulance to treat my injuries. The criminals were quickly identified. They were only 19 and 20 years old, but they were already associated with cults and had a history of vandalism as teenagers. We never heard from the man who escaped, and from the profile of these kids, we probably never will. Anyway, now I have a house full of cameras and a WhatsApp group with the neighbors. We all protect each other. We will never again allow anything like what happened to us that day in my house to happen.
This happened to me and my family when we were living in Kansas City, back in 2016. Clowns were all the rage, and scary clowns were a hot topic across the country. My wife, Abby, and I, and my son, Nick, all lived in a nice house in a safe neighborhood. Every day in the news, there was at least one piece of news relating to a scary clown. It was either a prank or a serious crime or something along that line. However, around Halloween of 2016 and 17, there were a lot of people dressed as clowns. It was funny and weird at the same time. My son Nick, who was 15 back then, dressed as a creepy clown too. My wife and I had a good laugh looking at our silly-looking son. But soon, things took a turn for the worse. Now, you must know something about me. I'm a banker, but my father was a cop, which means I knew a lot about the police in the States. And being the son of a cop, I always made sure that our house was secure, which means making sure all the locks and bolts on the doors and windows are working okay. The Ring camera and the one in our backyard are always on, etc. Abby always said that I exaggerated, but I just wanted to keep my family safe. Nothing wrong with that, right? A month after Halloween, there was a break-in into the house of an elderly couple that lived down the street. They said it was a clown carrying a machete. He threatened them and stole a bunch of valuables and money. The cops were working on the case when another break-in happened in one of the houses in our neighborhood. For the first time, a scary clown had struck our area. Now my wife was thanking me for being so serious about the security of our home. Although the neighborhood was on high alert, somewhere deep down I knew that the clown would strike a third time. Usually, my wife and I slept in the master bedroom on the ground floor, and my son slept in his room upstairs. But that day, I decided to sleep on the couch in front of the TV. My wife was in our room, and my son was fast asleep in his. Around 2 in the morning, my phone chimed beside me on the couch. I had fallen asleep with the TV on, so I immediately woke up when the notification popped up. It was from the Ring camera. There was motion detected on our porch. I was immediately on high alert. I grabbed my phone and opened the app, and the scene I saw was straight out of a person's nightmare. There was a scary-looking clown on my front porch. He was just standing there, looking at the house. He also had a big machete in his hand, which he was holding right against his chest. He was dragging his right foot as if he had a limp. He was just acting weird, like a zombie. But I was the most scared when he stopped moving and noticed the Ring camera. He became as still as a rock and just kept looking into the camera. Then he moved his face close to it. That's when I lost it. I knew it was unsafe to go out and confront him. Even though my father had taught me how to fight, I was no match for a blade-wielding crazy guy. That's when I remembered that my wife loved to sleep with the window open. I looked at the footage of the camera and the clown wasn't there. I ran to our bedroom and spotted the open window. Abby was sleeping peacefully, I yanked the window closed, and then the clown emerged from the side of the house. He must have heard the noise of the window closing. He raised his machete and moved it across his neck, making the "I'll kill you" motion.
"What happened, Brandon?"
my sleepy wife asked from the bed. "Nothing, sweetie. You sleep." I didn't want to worry her. I grabbed my phone once again and climbed the stairs to my son's room. His window was locked and his blinds were drawn, which meant no one from the street should be able to spot him. I dialed 911 and told the operator my emergency. He said that the cops would be there in a few minutes. Almost 5 minutes after I hung up the phone, someone rang the doorbell. I saw the footage of the Ring camera on my phone and saw a cop standing in front of my door. He was looking into the camera and showing me his badge. He was saying something, but we didn't have speakers installed. It was weird that the cop was able to get there so fast, especially given on average that the time it takes for cops to get to our neighborhood is around 10 to 15 minutes. Plus, it was weird for a single cop to show up at your door at night. They usually have a partner with them. So instead of opening the door immediately, I looked at the footage for a while. That's when I noticed that he wasn't a cop. Rather, he was a detective. Throughout my childhood and teenage years, I'd been around enough cops and detectives to know that only police officers responded to 911 calls, and never a detective. So it was extremely odd for one to be on my porch. I kept watching the footage some more and noticed that the body language of that man was off. He might have dressed like a detective, but he wasn't one. He was someone else. That's when the man finally moved and walked a few steps away from the door. And to my utter shock, he had a limp in his right leg, too. In an instant, I knew what was going on. But before I could do anything, loud sirens could be heard down the road. The cops were here. The detective, or should I say the scary clown, ran like a madman across my front yard in the opposite direction, all the way limping and barely managing to go fast enough. This time, when the real cops knocked, I opened the door. The commotion had woken up my wife and son. I filled them in on what had happened. The cops told me that I was super smart not to open the door the second time when the fake cop showed up. They told us that the same thing had happened at different parts of the city, and that the scary clown or fake cop had even killed a woman who was naive enough to open the door. A citywide search was going on for this man, and the footage from our Ring camera had helped the cops get the face of the criminal. Just a year later, we moved from Kansas to Montana, but the clown was never caught. But after that day, he didn't torment anyone else or loot any other houses. My overprotective attitude saved my family and many other families who could have been the victim after us. But that clown's face was the scariest thing I had ever caught on the Ring camera. Ever. So next time, when someone rings your doorbell at night or knocks on your door, check before you open the door, or you could become a victim of a scary criminal.
Hi guys, my name is Greg. I'm a nightclub security guard, so you can imagine that I'm used to dealing with very strange and dangerous situations, right? Well, you're right. What you wouldn't imagine is that the strangest and most dangerous situation of my life, I wouldn't experience it in a nightclub, but in my own home. That night, I was coming home from work. As it was a weekday, the club closed a little earlier, and luckily for me, as there were very few people, my boss let me leave an hour earlier. The drive home was a short one. As I drove back, I wondered what it would have for dinner and how many hours I could sleep. I arrived home and started to park my car, but something caught my attention. A shadow was moving in the bushes, reacting to my every move, waiting for me to move. I grabbed a piece of metal I kept in the car in case they wanted to rob me and headed towards the bush. Every second, every step I took, I could feel the anticipation coursing through my body. I was scared. At the club, I faced drunk or homeless guys, but here, I didn't know what I might encounter. I faced the bush, moved the leaves with the iron, and to my surprise, there was absolutely no one there. I knew that my brain hadn't played any tricks on me. A few minutes ago, someone was in that bush. But as I grabbed my iron, he probably ran away in fear. It must have been a teenager playing a prank or the neighbor's kids. Calmed down, I closed the garage door and went home. After eating and getting ready for bed, I was very curious about that person in the bushes. So I checked the cameras at my front door to see if they found anyone. And to my surprise, I found much more than I expected. Before I arrived, a clown with a machete was walking around the front of my house, passing by the front door and seeing if he saw anyone. Surely it was the same clown who had been hiding in the bushes. Terrified, I dropped my glass of water, and even though it hit my foot, I couldn't feel anything. I was terrified. Terrified of the idea that this man had been so close to my family, and maybe would have come in if my boss hadn't let me leave early from work. I was still afraid that this man, dressed as a clown, would return during the night, so I went to my car and got the metal rod I had used earlier to inspect the bushes. Before I left, I had left it in the car while I locked the garage. I got into the car again, but something strange had happened. The wand was gone. I looked under the steering wheel to no avail, and when I looked at the back of the car, a shadow came out of the darkness and grabbed my head with both hands. It was the clown from before. I used all my strength to escape, but it was useless. This man's strength was so great that not even a man as trained as me could do anything about it. The clown kept pulling me deeper and deeper into the darkness to do who knows what to me, until we both heard my wife's voice. "Honey, where are you?" At the sound of her voice, the clown came out of the darkness and leaned out, still clutching me, but looking in the direction of my wife's voice. "Don't you dare," I said, still struggling. In response to what I said, the clown gave me a big smile, and with all his strength, he slammed my head 3 times against the steering wheel of the car and got out of the car in the direction of my wife. I tried to follow him, but after a few steps, I fell to the ground dizzy. Those blows to the head had taken effect on me, and I was losing a lot of blood.
"Who are you? Get away from me! No! No!
No! Don't hurt her! You want me!" My wife's scream made me gather my strength and get up one more time. I walked as best I could in the direction of the screams, and when I managed to get there was no one there, but the basement door was open. I walked a few steps and looked out, and at the bottom of the stairs was my wife. Her arm was broken, and she was in a pool of blood, not moving. "No." I couldn't regret what happened to my wife when suddenly the clown appeared out of nowhere behind me and pushed me down the stairs. The fall was very hard, but harder was to fall on the corpse of my wife, who was no longer breathing. In the meantime, I heard footsteps coming from upstairs. It was the clown walking up the stairs, leading to my children's room. With no time to grieve, I climbed the stairs with a broken leg, full of pain. Each step felt like an eternity. I was very dizzy and losing a lot of blood. When I got out of the basement, I started to climb the stairs to the boy's room until suddenly I heard the sound of a gunshot. I made even more effort to get upstairs, and when I saw my children's door, it was closed, but blood was coming out from under the door. I kept walking to confront the clown, expecting to meet the worst. If my children were still alive, what could I do? The clown was armed, and I was a dizzy man with a broken leg, about to pass out from all the blood he had lost. I didn't care what, but I had to do something. I tried to approach the door, but it opened. The clown on the other side came out in a rage and started to choke me. I tried to pull him out, but I had no strength. Every second that the clown choked me, I got less and less tight. The clown was getting weaker and weaker until he gave up and fell to the ground. Confused, I looked down. The clown had a huge hole in his body. Running out of energy, I fell to the ground and watched as my 2 sons ran towards me, trying to wake me up. When I woke the next day, I was in the hospital. From the sound of the gun, some neighbors came to my house and found me on the floor. They took me to the hospital right away. If they hadn't, I wouldn't be alive today. The police came to see me at the hospital and told me everything that happened. The clown was trying to grab my youngest son from under the bed. My oldest son, who was hiding in the closet, saw down the stairs what the clown did to his mother, ran to my room and grabbed my gun. As the clown was about to grab his brother, he shot him. Wounded, the clown left the room and found me, while my son went running after his brother. It was very convenient that, as a child, I taught him to shoot, even though I didn't know he knew where my gun was. I can't be mad. It saved his life, his brother's, and mine. Unfortunately, my wife was not so fortunate. She died instantly from an impact to the head as she fell down the stairs. The wake was sad and tragic. It was never known what the clown wanted, but from what the police told me, my family was the first to survive his ruthless attacks. Since that day, my son and I started therapy. We can't recover from what happened that night. After that, our lives will never be the same.